Hello and welcome to another episode of Character Reveal. It's that show where we reveal people's characters. You get it? It's a hilarious joke. Once again, I am your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, and I am joined by my lovable co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hello, everybody. This is Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, aka The Snow Queer on Tumblr, and we have a particularly special guest today for any of our Pittsburgh listeners. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mikey, and my friend Bob is over here. Yeah, my friend Bob is over there too. Yeah, we're Mikey and Bob. We're just hanging out. Yeah, thank you for having us. By the way, this is fun.
Yeah, no problem.
Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, glad you could spare some time out for us. You know, I know everyone's really, really busy. But how you guys doing today?
We're good. Show just got done a little while ago, and that's always a good time. And now we're just hanging out in the studio.
I'm editing the show currently.
Yeah, it's weird because we don't have any like interns or show producers. It's literally just me and Bob, which is different from so many other radio shows because a lot of people work with like full staffs of like, you know, 5-10 people. No, we do like everything. So after our show is over, then we go into like, you know, editing mode and have to cut promos and do all this stuff. So that's kind of, and podcast time too, so that's why we're here.
Nice. But yeah, so that's good. It's good you guys had a good show today. I heard a little bit of glimpses of it. Always a pleasure to hear.
Sorry about that. Yeah, our show is just it's weird when people are just like, oh, it's so good, you guys have such a good show. I'm just like, it's just like, imagine the best friend you grew up with and then being paid to do a radio show with them. That's literally what we do every day. Like every day I'm just like, I can't believe they pay us to do this. It's amazing.
So I guess for the people that aren't from Pittsburgh, really, what exactly do you guys do?
We do the morning radio show on 96.1 KISS in Pittsburgh. It's like a top 40 radio station, you know, so we play like, you know, Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber and Drake and stuff like that. So, but, you know, most of the time we're talking on our show. So we do pretty much like a talk show with just a couple songs here and there. But yeah, we talk about anything that's kind of happening in pop culture and a lot of Pittsburgh. Anything that's happening in Pittsburgh, we pretty much cover too. So,
very cool. Yeah. Well, it's we're actually, Stephanie and I are on vacation, and we kind of need a small blessing from you. I'm a little worried, actually. We are in Florida, and
oh boy.
Anything could happen.
You're rolling those dice. Yeah, on our show a lot, we cover Florida stories because no matter what, it always seems like in the news, like almost every day, there's somebody who gets drunk or high.
Yeah, you guys better not like get high or take your pants off at any point.
Well, the pants are definitely coming off.
There's always somebody getting arrested for something weird in Florida where it's like, well, you're not going to believe this, but this happened in Florida. And yeah, it's a full segment on our show now in Pittsburgh, just covering Florida stories.
It's we're at an event where there's going to be a lot of, what would you say, semi-nudity?
Debauchery,
yeah. It's a whole Halloween week kind of thing, so.
There's a festival in Key West every year where they kind of shut down all the misdemeanor laws along the main drag, like the Carson Street of Key West.
Really?
Where they pretty much, like, as long as your front genitals are covered, you're not publicly indecent.
All right.
So people get super, super trashed and make poor decisions. So
butt cheeks are good then.
Butt cheeks are totally okay.
Butt cheeks are legal.
Butt cheeks are legal.
There it is. That's pretty much was the goal. We were talking about like, what are we gonna do for a vacation? I'm like, I just want to have my butt cheeks out, and we can't do that in Pittsburgh. So
I've been working so hard this year. These butt cheeks need to get out. These butt cheeks need some sunlight. They need some air. Where can we air out butt cheeks? Oh yes, Florida.
Exactly.
Hopefully you guys have a good time down there.
That's what we're hoping. It's Halloween style. We're fans of costumes. You know, we go to like all the
comic conventions and that kind of thing.
Like all the nerdy conventions, like Pittsburgh has some, New York and all that. So we're ready for costumes. But you guys are having your Halloween party as of recording, it's tomorrow. But when this goes up, it's going to be a few weeks ago. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have a Halloween party every year with the station where we usually get like an artist to come in and play at Stage AE. This year we have Flo Rida Nice. And it's usually just an excuse to go out in costume and drink beers. And since me and Bob are oddly shaped, I'm like 6'8". Bob's got some pounds on him.
We used to try really hard, though, like go all out for costumes.
Yeah,
then.
We would do like a couple's costume almost every time. And it just became too much work and too time consuming.
Finding our size too.
Yeah, because we're awkwardly shaped. So now we found like a Japanese website that sells big onesies. Like,
oh yeah, those are
onesies
awesome.
Are great.
Kurami or something it's called.
Yeah.
And we just buy the crap out of onesies, and that's what we do every year. We just get different onesies. So Bob's Batman this year. I'm going as a sloth and. Yeah, it's good times. Usually like, you know, $40 for a onesie, get it done. You're comfortable all night. You got little pockets, so you're not worried about that. And it's basically like just partying in your pajamas. So
That's literally the American dream. I looked it up this morning. American dream, party in pajamas.
And the best part is, too, is if you get too drunk, then you can just basically pass out in your Halloween costume and wake up the next morning.
You're already in
pajamas. Yeah, you're hungover, you're already in your pajamas, and you're completely comfortable. So it works out pretty good. But no, we do throw pretty good Halloween. There's not much we do good at the station, but we are pretty good at throwing Halloween parties for some reason.
What's it combines all the good things that Pittsburgh's known for, which is pretty much drinking and music.
And people in weird costumes.
And Sally Wiggin, too. Sally Wiggin, for people who don't know, is like a legendary. She's like the female Anchorman, like Ron Burgundy Anchorman, who is just like a legend in Pittsburgh. Every year, Sally Wiggin comes to our Halloween party.
I heard she was good at basketball.
I think back in the day,
yeah, she can dunk.
Yeah, Sally can dunk.
So if we were to pull up like a fantasy basketball match, who do you think would win in a fantasy basketball match? Sally Wiggin in her prime or Prince?
Oh man, I mean probably Prince.
I'm pretty sure that basketball match has happened before. Prince was in his prime.
I bet when Prince, I think Prince's last show in Pittsburgh, like I bet he did one maybe in like the 90s or the 80s at like the Civic Arena.
Wiggin just shows up in a purple dress. So you know everybody's just naked.
Everybody's got to be naked too.
That's playing basketball. I mean, it's kind of like shirts and skins. That's how Prince plays.
Shirts versus blouses.
Need to go to the bathroom, guys. I'll be back.
Okay, number one or two?
Emergency.
Oh, boy. All right, well, Bob's leaving for a little bit, but I'll continue on with you guys. Bob's going to the bathroom.
Cool. Speaking of bathrooms, you guys kind of have like some running segments on your shows. It seems like you guys kind of get into grooves every once in a while. But one of the ones I really loved, which kind of struck me near and dear to my heart, was when you were talking about the heated toilet seats with the bidets involved.
Oh, man.
And Did you guys ever get one of those?
No, we have not yet, but I know more about like heated toilet seats and like high class toilet seats than I feel like anybody. Like I'm almost an expert on it, but one day we were randomly talking about how nobody likes a cold, you know, toilet seat.
It's sure.
such a bad feeling, and then you know people started tweeting us and calling us about, you know, you got to get yourself a like a toilet that has a seat warmer, and that unlocked, like, if you go to like a, I think we went to Home Depot's website, it unlocks this whole new world. Like you think there's just one kind of toilet seat. Oh no. Like you can spend a couple G's on a toilet seat that plays music, squirts your hole, you know, it's warm, has like lights on it. It's crazy how. And I never knew it. I never knew that toilet seats got so expensive and like technologically advanced. But yeah, the only problem would be, you know, it's almost like warming up your car. Like you got to know when you're going to your car to, you know, get it started. So if you had to like make an emergency rush to the bathroom, I think you just got to take the L on that one. You might not have a warm toilet seat unless you keep it warm all the time. But that might get I might get expensive.
Might run your electric bill up a little. Yeah, in Japan, I didn't know. I studied abroad there a couple years ago, and I didn't know anything about Japan's fascination with highly technologically advanced toilet seats until I got there.
Definitely number one in the world as far as technologically
number,
advanced toilet
number one
seats.
For going number one and number two.
They don't play. Japan don't play.
Like even in like department stores, you go into like department store bathroom, it's completely spotless.
Yeah.
Like they had the doors go like from ceiling to floor, and the toilet seats, like They do. They play like a running water sound if you don't want people to know, like hear your like poop drop, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the whole joy of going.
Like, they're warm. They're like, I was like, there's like a whole array of like remote control buttons here. I just gotta pee.
Can you imagine if like a Pittsburgh Walmart had that level of power in their toilet seat?
It'd be the busiest Walmart around. That's funny that you say that, though. Me and Bob always say, like, if things ever don't work out with us in Pittsburgh, we are moving to Japan for, I mean, many reasons. Toilet seats being number one, that they they're, you know, so advanced with toilet seats. That's where we get our onesies from, and we just feel like a couple of oddly shaped American boys that like to just have a good time and laugh at things. Japan would love us. Like, I feel like, you know, it's always the joke, we're huge in Japan. I feel like we would be huge in Japan if we went over there.
Like, at least in three ways, at least.
Yeah. And the toilet seats are, that's a whole nother story there. They could probably steal us from Pittsburgh if they just offered us nice toilets.
Well, that's what we're having to do to keep you guys here. So, I mean, just on the theme of, you know, we're having this Pittsburgh heavy episode crossed over with Japan, we might as well just get right into, like, some of the weird stuff, you know. You guys go to the furry convention every now and then, right?
Oh, yeah, Anthrocon. Yeah, we try to make it every year. It usually falls when we're on our summer vacation, though, like 4th of July weekend. But we started going to Anthrocon, like, the first year that it came to Pittsburgh, when people didn't even know what it was. Actually, the first one we ever witnessed was when they used to have it in Philadelphia, and we saw it there, and we were like, what is this? What are these like people in these giant furry costumes walking around? We were like amazed by it. And then they did a CSI episode, I think.
Yeah, that's how I first learned about furries, was that CSI episode.
So many people, that was their first experience with furries, is seeing that CSI episode. So then Anthrocon moved to Pittsburgh, and it's just, you know, I don't know, it's been here for like 7-8 years now, but the first year we went down there just to, like, walk around and see people in costumes and just take pictures with them, because we were amazed by it. And then every year we would keep going back, and then eventually we made so many friends with local people here in Pittsburgh that were furries and that would dress up every year. So they kind of, it's kind of weird because a lot of the media here didn't understand what the hell was going on when they first came here. And me and Bob just, like, embraced it. Like, a lot of, like, people that were running Anthrocon weren't doing interviews with radio and TV people because, for the most part, they were just getting, like, laughed at and made fun of. Me and Bob were just amazed by it. Like, we would go down there, and we were all in. We thought it was just, like, the coolest thing. And so, like I said, we made so many friends with local furries, like, 2 years ago. I wore a tail. One of them brought an extra tail for me that I wore the whole night. So we would just go down to like the Westin Hotel and just hang out and party with furries. And then the year after that, they made me and Bob each a tail of our own, which
fancy.
Which I keep in the trunk of my car. I don't know why.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case. It is a big, long, like white and turquoise sparkly tail. It's probably like 3 feet long. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's the one thing that's always in my trunk. It's like, all right, tire iron, spare tire, furry tail, just I guess I don't know where to keep it in my house because I don't want it to get ruined and it's special to me, so it's just always in my it's always in my car though. But no, we love Anthrocon, the furry convention, and we have honestly made a lot of good friends down there that we keep in touch with and try to see every year down there.
Nice. Yeah, I remember the first time I was aware of a furry convention. Like, I knew they existed, but only from, you know, the kind of shows that kind of give them a hard time, like My Strange Addiction and stuff like that. But we came down on the 4th of July once because my family always tries to go to the point. So we're walking, and it was, like, during the day, so I guess most of the furries were in the building doing convention things. But there was a few people trickling out with, like, cat ears or tails or something, which is, like, okay, whatever, it's not a big deal. And then I started seeing people wearing, like, bridal party and groom party shirts. So I'm like, maybe it's part of that or something. I don't think anything of it. So we get down to the point, watch the fireworks, it's great, and then all the mess coming out. So we're driving back, and we pass convention center. We're starting to see, like, people in furry costumes, but they were, like, tame animals, sort of.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is there, like, a cheerleading event? Are these mascots? What is this? But then we crest the corner, and there's just like hundreds of furries, and my eyes light up like, what even is this?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's the first experience I've seen more than like five furries at a time. It's honestly feels like a Pittsburgh thing now.
Yeah, it is, and it's a good thing too, because I think people here are over like kind of the shock factor of it, because like you said, when initially people like years ago first thought of furries, and I'm sure people in other cities that just aren't used to it, there would always be like this weird like, oh, they're all just, it's a sexual thing with every one of them, and like they're all pooping and peeing in litter boxes in their hotel rooms, which, to be honest, a couple of them may, but it's not all furries that do that. So, but right. I think once people have realized that, you know, it's, they're just regular people who like to dress up in furry costumes for maybe a weekend or so a year. You know, I think people are over the shock factor of it in Pittsburgh and just embrace it, because when you go down to like the area of like the convention center and like the Westin on AnthroCon weekend, there's furries out there, but there's so many regular people now that just go down to hang out, like, because all the bars around there, it's just furries getting hammered. What a party that is. They do like a furry karaoke. They do like furry-oke. So just as much as it's like an AnthroCon furry weekend, I think a lot of normal people now just go down there to hang out with the furries just to have that experience now. So yeah, Pittsburgh has definitely embraced them. It definitely is a Pittsburgh thing now, and I hope the furries never leave.
What's the largest one in North America or the world now,
yeah,
actually,
I think,
right?
AnthroCon's the biggest furry convention, period.
That's cool. We go to a lot of anime conventions, which are essentially the same thing, but
just like people, nerds dressing up because they want to for a weekend.
Yeah.
And when you get a chance to see, like, I don't know, like Elsa from Frozen, Super Mario furries, and like Finn from Star Wars all getting drunk at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, that's an experience that you just hold with yourself for a while.
It's pretty special. Yeah, it's pretty special stuff. I agree.
I love it. So do you, just through, I guess through your show and living here, do you feel like Pittsburgh's more weird than other cities? Cause I feel that way, but I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Pittsburgh is pretty accepting of weirdness. You know, we always say that we aren't sure our show would work in any other city other than Pittsburgh, because I mean, when we first started doing our radio show, we were really young. Like, I was 21 and Bob was 22 years old. And to have your own morning show in, like, a bigger market like Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh is, like a top 30 radio market. So to have our own morning show was kind of an unheard of thing that young. So we kind of just learned how to do a show and be ourselves. And we're never kind of, like, coached on how to do a typical morning radio show. So our weirdness and just the people that we are naturally just came out on the show. And, you know, if Pittsburgh wasn't as special a city as it is, I think we would have just, you know, lasted maybe a year and a half before they pulled the plug on us. But no, Pittsburgh just kind of embraced the weirdness, which makes me believe that, yeah, Pittsburgh is kind of a weird special place. And, you know, if anybody has ever listened to our show, just the weird things we do, people just, they just accept it and embrace it. So it's definitely a good thing for us, because I don't know if I could ever live in another city and try to like re-explain or reinvent what we do on our show and have another city be accepting of it, you know?
Yeah, it definitely has its own flavor. Steph lives in New York, and
we were talking to someone for another episode, and they were like, "Oh, you know, top 40 morning shows, they're all the same." And I was like,
"Yeah, come to Pittsburgh."
I was like, "I grew up in Pittsburgh, so I have only ever heard Mikey and Big Bob." So
yeah, I had to move my car for some reason, and so I didn't get towed by Project Monster or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah,
and I popped on the radio, which just defaults to 96.1 or 102, and the morning radio was on, and it was really, really bad. Like, it's like, yeah, time to just fire up that aux cable, because this is like all the things you guys joke about top 40 doing is totally a real thing.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that just separates us and makes us different from any other morning show, is just that, like I said, when we first started doing radio, we had no idea what we were doing, so we were never kind of like coached and trained. And especially like top 40 morning radio, they do like, you know, even in like the biggest markets like New York and LA, they do like these like fake prank phone calls and like War of the Roses and all these things that like have been going on in radio since like the 80s. And it's all just like fake paid actors. And we just, when we first were given our show, we were just, our kind of, I guess, thesis or basis that we stood on was just like, all right, well, we either have to sink or swim on our own. So instead of being fake and doing the typical fake top 40 morning radio stuff, like we're gonna feel so bad if we have crappy ratings, get fired for doing all the same fake crap everybody else does. So let's just be real with everybody. And, you know, just being real is just being a real human and not doing all the fake crap everybody else does is like, that's what separates you right there. You don't even have to try. All you have to do is be like, all right, we aren't doing any of that fake crap. And it's just like, whoa, these guys are crazy. They're different. And it's just like, no, nah, not really. Just everybody sucks that bad.
That's kind of that's the prep work that we do. Like, cause I kind of hate traditional interviews myself. They just feel kind of fake. Like, how many times are you going to ask Robert Downey Jr. and Scarlett Johansson how they prepped to fit into their outfits? Like, I don't really care about that anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could have came on here and be like, well, you know, Mikey, how did you get into radio? You know, how did you and Bob meet? Like, I mean, you guys talk about that stuff and it's kind of, okay, it's out there. It's like, who wants to hear that for the 100th time?
We've told that story plenty of times, yeah.
Yeah, so we just kind of come in here like, well, I have like a couple questions I probably could go off of, but we're kind of just like, let's BS and see where it goes.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's kind of like the way we do too. Most like morning radio shows will just fill their shows with guests that really don't matter, and somebody's promoting a book, somebody's promoting. And honestly, we always just think like, why would our listeners like care about this? So if there's somebody where we're just like, I don't even know who this is, or I don't even care what they're promoting, or we just never really have guests on our show unless it's somebody big that, you know, makes a difference. We just aren't going to fill our show with, you know, just to have a guest on, just to have them on, you know. And when we do have guests on, we try to do, like you said, just take a totally different approach. Ask people things that they may have never been asked for or about or anything like that. Like, our go-to is usually like, have you ever cried during a Disney movie before? We always ask like, what's your favorite Disney movie? Because that, you can tell so much about a person by that answer. Like, what's your favorite Disney movie and did you cry during it? And that
what is your favorite Disney movie?
Tells so much about a person. Oh man, I think probably my favorite I would have to say Wall-E. I loved Wall-E. Wall-E and Up are like, and maybe that was just because that's when my daughter was growing up. And when you have a kid that's growing up, if they get hooked on one movie, you watch it like 30 times. So Wall-E and Up were the two like kind of Disney Pixar movies that I watched over and over and over again. But I think I grew to love them instead of like hate watching them.
Sure. Yeah, I remember the first time I saw Up. Someone's like, "Hey, you got to watch this movie. It's a great movie." And no one tells you that. Hey, I hope you're ready to cry because it's gonna get real sad before it gets happy again.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, there's always the running theme of parents and mothers dying in Disney movies. But yeah, usually they wait towards the end of the movie to do that. Up, just like right out the gate, they're just like, "Oh, look at this nice couple. The wife is dead. She's dead. She's dead."
Like princess movies, at least they're like, oh, well, she's been dead for a while. We're not even going to we're not even going to bring it up.
Yeah. Even in Frozen, they didn't really build it up. It's like, hey, by the way, her parents died. Now we can start the story. But Up was like, hey, this nice couple you got here. Shame
look at
something
these adorable
happened.
Children. Look at these adorable children in love.
Up, that was just the kickoff to it. But yeah, in Frozen, they kind of like sneak it in almost like, all right, parents dying, we got to keep the streak alive real quick. Let's send them off on a trip and they're dead, right? Okay, just got to do that to keep the streak alive.
Check the box, move on. Yep.
Now, ice powers.
And ice powers.
Cool, yeah. The only segment that we kind of script is we have, like, towards the end, which we're not really there yet, but it's kind of like a rapid-fire question segment.
Oh, yeah.
But it's more of, like, wild stuff. We don't want to get too much into, like, you know, I think it's just nerdy stuff, but that's later. But I mean, you guys talk about nerdy stuff a decent bit on your show. I feel like, you know,
pop culture's become so nerdy lately. It's like, it's all comic book movies and comic book TV shows and
that's true.
Everything, like Game of Thrones and
there is no real like nerdy stuff anymore. Like I always try to tell that to my daughter. Like, there's nothing that you can be into that's like nerdy and should be made fun of. Like, you know, if you were like into science as a kid growing up, or like outer space, like that stuff is so goddamn cool. That's like the coolest stuff, you know? And especially like, pop culture stuff, like, you know, maybe when I was growing up, like, people would get made fun of if they played, like, you know, they were into Pokemon or Dungeons and Dragons, different stuff like that. Like, all that stuff and Game of Thrones and all that stuff is so pop culture now that it's not even, like, this weird closeted segment of society. That's, like, main pop culture now, you know?
Yeah, you got people running around outside looking at their phone trying to catch another Zubat.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we're definitely into all the Marvel stuff and everything like that, and that whole universe and everything. I love Doctor Who. I know that's kind of like looked at it. That's getting pretty deep into it, but I love...
No, I'm right there with you.
I love telling people that I love Doctor Who, because when you meet somebody who loves Doctor Who too, especially in America, because it's not like huge over here, it's just like you could talk to them for hours about Doctor Who, so...
Oh yeah, dude, at New York Comic Con, we were just like, we were standing by an escalator, like waiting to meet some people. And I see this guy coming down the escalator who's like the best Peter Capaldi cosplayer I've ever seen in my life. Just like he's in the suit, he's got the hair, he's got wearing the sunglasses, coming down the escalator. And I realize he has like a squad of people around. And I was just like, all of a sudden, I was like, wait, I'm at New York Comic Con. That was Peter Capaldi. and he's just down the hallway gone. And I like turned and looked, made eye contact with this other like congoer and was like, did you see that?
Like, that was the guy.
It's got to be a little hard if you're at a convention though. Just like, wow, really good. Oh my gosh, it's Peter Capaldi. And he's already
that's
gone.
The real person. Like,
did that just happen? Was that just real life? But yeah, my daughter's 9 now, Addison, and she loves Doctor Who too. She'll sit there and watch the episodes with me. So I got her into Doctor Who. So like, even being a dad and bringing her up, I always teach her like there's no separation of like, oh, you can't be into this stuff because it's nerdy, because like we said, that's just like pop culture now. Like, that's just, everything is, you know, you like whatever you like.
Sure. I feel like I think I'm remembering this. When The Force Awakens came out, did you have your daughter go back and watch like the first 6?
No, she never did. Bob has never seen a previous Star Wars until he saw Force Awakens. And we always would argue about this on the show, because I was so pumped when Force Awakens like came out. I'm like, I love Star Wars, you know, loved it since I was little. I've seen all of them, like waited for the prequels and went to see those the first day.
You used to wait in line.
Yeah, used to wait in line and everything. And then Force Awakens was coming out, and I got so mad at Bob because he would be on the air talking about like, I can't wait for this new Star Wars movie to come out to see what this is all about. And I'm like, you haven't seen any movie yet. You got to go back and watch them. And he's like, nope, I'm starting with this one. Like, you can't just start with that one.
Yo, I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, you enjoyed it
fine,
though, right?
Yeah, I saw it 3 times in theaters.
But there were, you know, there were just a lot of different callbacks in Force Awakens to the previous.
No, I just didn't need to see the other one, so.
I know, but it was so much more special to me knowing like what the little inside jokes were, and you know, oh, that was funny, but it probably wasn't to you, Bob, but yeah, you still enjoyed it though, right?
Yeah, you're
still all in for the new movies that are coming out, right?
Sure.
Yeah, Rogue One's coming out soon, right?
Yeah, you'll go to Rogue One with me, right?
I'm right on that bandwagon.
See, you're all in. You're just going to act like there were no movies before Force Awakens, all right?
Yeah,
I mean, so I saw
the main characters. Sure.
Yeah, I think I saw the prequels, because I never grew up watching movies in general because I was a weird kid. I'm like, I'll play video games riding my bike, but I'm not sitting still.
Yeah.
But my parents took me to the drive-in. So I remember going to see the prequels. I don't remember what happens because, you know, bad attention span. So I've seen 1, 2, 3, and 7. And the quality jump.
Dumb. I did not know this.
So I keep wanting to, but no one will sit me down.
Don't let her shame you.
But see, here's the thing. Like, there's so much, like you said, pop culture so intertwined that, like, I don't know the good parts of 4, 5, and 6 or, like, the subtleties, but I've seen enough parodies that I got the gist of it, which now I just want to go see them. Like, I saw the Family Guy version. That's the same, right? It's exactly the same.
Yeah. If you see the Family Guy version, that's like the cliff notes, so you don't have to watch that movie. Just skip over that whole thing and make believe it didn't even happen. Yeah, Family Guy version, that's good. You're good.
I've also never seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy sober, so there's that.
You've never seen it sober?
I've never seen it sober.
So how many times have you seen it not sober?
Well, like once.
Once or twice? Like, in college, I used to have...
Those are some long movies to not be sober for. Like, if you've seen all three of them not sober, that's like 9 hours of your life where you were not sober.
Yes,
so
it was
12 hours, because when I was in college, we used to throw parties at my apartment where we would like block off a whole weekend and we would start at like 1 p.m. with the extended versions.
Yeah.
And just like, I don't remember seeing the end of the third movie any of those times.
We actually got fired from our first promotions job in radio.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
We stole like 100 passes, like movie. And we took a bunch of listeners with us to see Lord of the Rings. I forget which one it was, though.
I think it was the first one. I think it was the first
one. What were we supposed to do?
I don't know. They were set aside for some other promotion, and we were just like, screw it. These passes are here. We're just going to steal them and take a bunch of listeners. And yeah,
that'll get you fired. That's a life lesson.
Yeah, got fired for that.
I mean, that's brand recognition, though. It's
Yeah, we were pretty badass stealing Lord of the Rings movie passes to take our listeners.
Oh, you know, that's Bad Boys.
Lord of the Rings is just one of those like series where if you've seen it before, it's just like if you get a weekend where it's on, you could turn on any movie in the series where it's at, and you'll just be like, all right, I'm watching this. Like Harry Potter weekends for me, just tap out, like clear my schedule.
You're done.
I don't care what movie's on. I'm done for that weekend if there's a Harry Potter marathon on.
So I think the day I went to go see The Force Awakens for the first time, I was at Steph's house. So I forget what we did the previous day, but was that a Harry Potter marathon? I think we just got stuck watching it.
Yeah,
it was. Meant to leave.
Well, it was around Christmas, right? Because it was like Christmas party or something.
It was around. Yes. Okay.
So
yeah, usually they throw it on around Christmas and.
Like, these are Christmas movies because Christmas exists during a school year.
Yep, right.
And we rolled into Force Awakens looking exactly like the cast. You know, that was perfect. You know, it's kind of feels like you're being weird when you walk into the Force Awakens with a white woman, a black man, and a Latino man. Like, we were just the cast of Star Wars. We probably could have tricked somebody. Oh, no, I'm totally John Boyega.
Yeah,
it's me, you guys.
he's so good in that movie, man. Like, I can't wait to see him in more. But he was that cast was just, it was so perfectly done that it just, you know, there were so many other things to complain about other Star Wars movies, but that one was just so perfectly cast and perfectly done that you're just like, all right, everything's back on track, we're good with the future of Star Wars. Like, there's no.
This is the best of all possible worlds. We figured it out.
Yeah, there's no Jar Jar Binks that you're like ashamed of, and you're just like, oh god, why did they have to do that? Like, you're pretty confident with Star Wars moving forward that it's in good hands now.
Oh, for sure. Disney wants that money. They're not going to let that slip up.
Oh yeah, Disney's got the whole Star Wars theme park going up now, and oh yeah, this they're going to ride this out. Like, I will die before Star Wars goes away. Like, Star Wars will live on for generations at this point.
Like, Star Wars could theoretically live long enough that it catches up to what we consider present day. So they're like,
the galaxy for a long time ago,
back in the year 2016.
Yeah.
This loops back around. What's that? Yeah, we got Marvel movies coming out. Are you going to see Doctor Strange?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we see all the Marvel movies. Yeah, they haven't really been, like, promoting Doctor Strange like they go crazy for, like, an Avengers movie or anything like that. But I love Benedict Cumberbatch because I like Sherlock, too. So, and he's so good on Sherlock. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. And, the trailers just make it look all it just kind of looks trippy.
It's like Inception.
Yeah, it's very Inception-like. Like, it's not just like, oh, here's a man with superpowers that flies around and blows things up. It's
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nope, there's they get my money when they fly around and blow things up, too. But
damn straight.
It's just kind of different looking, which, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy was kind of the same, too. Going into it, you're just kind of like, all right, this one's a little different. They're not really promoting it like a huge Avengers movie or an Iron Man movie, and then you go see it and oh my god, we loved Guardians of the Galaxy. Like that made
it's kind
of
weird that they don't advertise like the quote-unquote lesser ones. Like everyone's gonna go see Civil War. Like you don't have to advertise that, just say it's coming out and everyone will be there.
Yeah
you gotta like, promote Ant-Man and Doctor Strange.
Yeah, like there's no Doctor Strange like Taco Bell cup or anything like that. They just kind of throw them out there and make it happen. But yeah, those always kind of end up being, I think, kind of the fan favorites, because maybe they are taken as, you know, promotionally heavy as some of the other movies. But yeah, I just from the way Doctor Strange looks, it just looks different from the other movies they've put out. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that one.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, because like I also like really love Sherlock, but like it's such a much more like intellectual, like not actiony
yeah
thing. So I'm interested to see, and Doctor Strange is like, it's magic powers and not punching, but still, like, I'm interested to see him play more kind of an action-y
magic punch
guy.
Punch with magic.
I did see I saw like a razor ad for Doctor Strange. Like it was a beard, like I think it was like Gillette or something.
Are you serious?
Because I was like, is it
have a
it?
Goatee just like Benedict Cumberbatch?
He was saying something. I'm like, is this a? I was like, that's clearly Doctor Strange. What the hell? Is this a trailer or like a joke? I'm like, Gillette, have a beard. Like, I swear, you look it up. I hope it was real and I didn't just dream this. Because if I just dream this, I'm way smarter than I think I am.
You got something wrong if you're dreaming about Doctor Strange shaving ads.
I mean,
back to what you ate before, like you went to sleep that night. If you're having dreams like that.
It was the Marvel brand Taco Bell tacos.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you guys see the, there was, like, on some soap opera, they, like, name dropped Doctor Strange in, like, a very awkward way, like, to, like
recently?
Yeah, recently, like, the movie. They weren't talking about, like, the character. They were, like, in the middle of, like a dramatic soap opera relationship fight, and all of a sudden the guy was, like, are you going to see Doctor Strange when
it comes out?
Was
that This Is Us? Was that the This Is Us show? I feel like that
should... I don't know. I don't know
what show. Is that now?
and the lady was like, I don't know if I want to see it without you.
Wow.
What is happening?
That would be kind of genius marketing, though, if they started throwing lines like that into random TV shows. I know we're going to break up and we're not going to last forever, but please don't leave me before Doctor Strange comes out to theaters, because we should see it together.
At our local AMC theater where you can get 2-for-1 popcorn.
That'd be genius.
Oh, that would be the best
kind
promotioning
of the promotional of the future.
Yeah,
just like in Futurama where they just beam it directly into your head. So, okay, so I don't like to ask those obvious radio interview questions, but I am a little bit curious. So this is more for me than the listeners. Hopefully you just tend to like it.
Fire away.
You guys do, like, characters on your show sometimes. Like, what made you decide to do that, really? Because I know where that came from, but, like, what made you say, I'm going to talk in a weird voice today and make this a thing?
Never even plan it out. It just happens. Like, we do like these office lady voices, like Betty and Marge, because everybody that works in an office always has those ladies that are just like, okay, I'm bringing some snacks into the break room today, you know? So everybody knows those office ladies that, you know, freak out when they get an email that there's like cake in the break room. And I don't know, we just tap into that office life that so many people, you know, listening to us in the morning or just probably driving to a job, maybe sitting in a cubicle that they don't like. So when you start spitting that reel about the job they're going to, and they're like, oh my god, we have a Betty and Marge at our office that are always just like, I can't eat too much, I'm watching my weight, I gotta get these 100 calorie little chip packs in, I don't want to go too heavy, I'm trying to lose weight, you know. Everybody just knows who those ladies are. But no, we never really like plan it out. It just kind of like naturally happens, and then we see people kind of like responding to it, like, oh, I love when you do the office lady voices, and it just kind of becomes a random thing on our show.
Sure. So, I mean, so for the stuff that you guys do, so everyone who listens to you knows that you do the radio show from like 6 to 10, but do you do office things? Like, I don't actually know how that works.
Yeah, like after our show, we, like I said, we don't have any producers or interns or anything like that. It's just me and Bob. So, you know, after every show, we have to kind of edit the show down into a big, like, hour-long chunk, and then we put it up on, we have, like, our own channel on iHeartRadio app that we put it up on there. If there's any videos we take during the show, like, we get those up on YouTube. Actually, we do a lot of the stuff for our show while our show's going on. So if we're taking video in our show and we got a pretty funny bit that's going on, we'll be editing that video, put it up on YouTube, like have it up on our website, like even while the show is still going on. But we do a lot of that stuff after the show too, like cutting commercials, cutting promos.
Okay.
You know, updating our website and Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. So it's just kind of like a never ending cycle. Like so many people think that, all right, 10 o'clock, we shut the mics off and go home. Like we have never done that once. That's not even a real world. It's just kind of like a never ending cycle of, you know, just taking things in. Because as soon as the show ends, like you got to start thinking about, all right, well, what's tomorrow's show going to be? Because, you know, news and stories and things are happening constantly. So, yeah, the show planning never really ends.
For sure. And you guys do some like late shows, like watching sports events or The Walking Dead or award shows, and then got to get up like 3 hours later.
Yeah,
I don't envy that at all.
We're robots. We don't sleep too much. Yeah, we can never like go to bed, you know, if there's a big Pittsburgh sporting event or somebody's in the playoffs or something going on, or like you said, like there's an episode of Walking Dead, which Bob doesn't watch, but I sure as hell do. Like I'm going to stay up and watch it because I can't live with myself if I don't. And you know, if there's a TV show that I don't want to get a spoiler on, I don't care when it's on. I will have no choice but to watch it live just to make sure. But yeah, that alarm goes off at 3:30 in the morning and it's
painful to hear.
It's never fun. Like it's okay once you get up and get going, but when 3:30 hits, it's never like, yeah, all right, the radio show. No, it's
still dark out.
Yeah,
no, that's awful. Did you watch this week's Walking Dead?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was.
How'd you deal with the deaths from that? I mean, I kind of fell off when they got trapped back in that one village.
I don't watch it.
I forget what it was. The one village they got trapped in the train car. I'm like, I'm tapping out.
They were, to get Terminus.
Yeah, they got trapped in Terminus, and I'm like, them getting out of this seems fake. And then my cable, like, we stopped having cable because it was expensive in college, so
yeah,
kind of fell off that, but
yeah.
Yeah.
There was a point where, you know, and I'm not going to give away, like, a spoiler for the last episode where there were dead people, but there was,
I mean, it's coming out in 3 weeks, this episode, so, I mean, no, if you want to spoil that.
By now, then, right? Well, there was a point in The Walking Dead where they tried to kill off a character, right? And they basically killed this character, Glenn. They basically killed him off, and you were just like, oh, my God, I can't believe they just killed him. This was a while ago on the show. And,
yeah, I remember it.
And then they came back, like, in, you know, spoiler alert, they came back, like, a few episodes later, and oh no, he's not dead. He was hiding under a dumpster from this giant group of zombie walkers. And at that point, I was like, oh, come on. Like, you
yeah, Glenn should have been super dead in that. He was like in a tunnel surrounded by zombies in the dark. He's like, no, I'm alive.
Yeah, like you can't get to this unreal scenario where this guy's clearly dead and everybody's acting like he's dead. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, under the dumpster the whole time. I'm good. Yeah, at that point I was like, all right, man, I don't know about this show. But, you know, then they start season 7 premiere by him getting whacked in the head with a baseball bat and his eye disgustingly popping out. So I'm like, all right, justice is served. Glenn is dead now. And yes, it was sad, but I was still like, to me, he was already dead from the dumpster episodes anyway. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're the ones who are actually dead in The Walking Dead. It's not about the zombies. It's about the survivors. We're dead on the inside.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to wrap that show up. And I don't read the comics. So I always think like, all right, how long is this going to go on? And what's the end game where they figure out what the hell, like, why is the Earth just full of, you know, zombies now? And I don't know, and I don't read the comics, so I don't know how it's going to all play out or anything like that.
I have no idea. I mean, how does a zombie apocalypse end? Like,
it's
like,
still ongoing, just, I think.
I mean, like, the comic's going.
No, yeah, the comic is still going. They haven't finished that up yet, so it's kind of like the comics are running with the TV show, and yeah, but I mean, for people that read the comics, it's still good to watch the TV show because they do have, like, different, you know, like,
yeah, different twists and stuff.
They just made up Daryl. Like, he's not in the comics, right? They just made him up. I'm pretty sure he's not in the comics. They're just like, hey, we're just going to have this guy because people seem to like him.
Yeah, I know they did say, though, that they're not going to end the TV show the same way as the comics, which they probably threw that out there just for the comic fans to be like, hey, don't bail on the TV show yet because it gets different at the end. Just kind of string people along and dangle that carrot.
Yeah. Like the last episode is the only difference. Like, oh, hey, you know, Rick dies in a ditch instead of like in a dumpster. See, we changed the ending.
It's totally different.
Last episode, it was just like, oh, everybody just had real bad diarrhea. That's what it was. It was just diarrhea that got violently out of control.
Like, you know, it's crazy. It wasn't the zombies that killed everybody. It was the diarrhea. Yeah, we should have known that.
Everybody had the squirts. Everybody had the squirts.
How's it?
Squirts in the zombie apocalypse is—it doesn't work out well. I feel like there should like be some weird twist in the zombie apocalypse. Like, oh, it's only in America. Like, actually, everyone just shut the borders off of the United States. Like, there's not zombies in Mexico or Canada.
Oh, there's. If you watch Fear the Walking Dead, there's definitely zombies in Mexico because they are in Mexico at parts of that. But yeah, I think I don't know if it is like an overseas thing too. I don't know. I'm not that deep into it. But yeah, Mexican zombies. Yeah, real thing. Confirm. Okay.
Yeah. I always wonder about stuff like that. Like in the Hunger Games. Like, is the U.S. devolved into like Pan Am? But like, what's going on in Europe? Did they just like watch America? Like.
Melt
in part into this nonsense and just like we're like, okay, well, they're having their thing over there, we're just gonna keep our nose out of it.
It's probably how the rest of the world looks at like our presidential election season is just like, all right, well, they got their own thing going on over there, and we'll just watch from afar and not get involved in it and just be like, holy crap, what are they doing over there?
It's weird having like through the course of the show we've talked to people from Canada and some people from London, and there's some stuff going on over in Europe, but our London friend was like, you guys are having some problems over there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Bright side, we've had lots of SNL sketches, so silver lining.
SNL does get popping during election season. I will tell you that. SNL has been damn good this season. Absolutely.
So another question I have is, you obviously have some political opinions as a person who lives in America, but how do you kind of keep that in a way where it doesn't interfere with the fans of your show?
It's a balancing act, honestly, during the election season, like every year. Like, you never want to, you know, kind of blatantly put people's beliefs or anything down, whether they might not even align with yours. You never want to make somebody out to be like, you know, you never want to talk down to somebody for kind of what they believe in. But I mean, we kind of stay away from like getting really into politics on our show, just because especially how it is in our country now, like instantly you piss like 50% of the people off, like right off like you can say something and like, all right, 50% of the people, and a lot of times there's no coming back from that. Like if you make fun of somebody who, you know, believes in the Second Amendment and thinks that everybody should own a gun or something, if you go hard on the radio or something like that and start going like in on somebody, like you're gonna make, you know, 50% of your listeners or this big group of listeners, you know, angry, or this group's gonna be mad at you, this group. So man, a lot of times we just take the approach of just like, people believe what they want to believe, vote how they want to vote, and we're just gonna, you know, a lot of times we just stick to like the pop culture stuff, like the SNL skits, or you know, if somebody says something like kind of so crazy that it's top news everywhere, like we'll cover it, but in a very almost general way to not be just like, wow, I can't believe how crazy this person is, or I can't believe people are actually voting for this person, or this person sucks because of this. So we'll, if we have to cover politics, we do it in a very general way, but you know, a lot of times we just stick to like the pop culture stuff, like the SNL skits, or if there was a candidate that's going to be like in the area, like it doesn't matter if it's Democrat, Republican, Independent, like we'll mention that and kind of cover our bases. It's kind of like a thin line to walk with radio too, you know, because like, and a lot of times on radio, like we have to run political, like if a campaign's paying for a commercial, like you can't refuse that money. It's kind of a weird thing. So a lot of times people might hear a commercial for a candidate during our show and they'll be like, I can't believe you guys are, and it's like, yeah, that's not how it works. Like as as like a radio station, you can't say, no, we're not taking this party's money. We're only taking this party's money. You have to be like open to everybody. That's just kind of how the rules are. So yeah, it's a very, especially this election season's been a very thin line to walk, but we just kind of, you know, let people believe what they believe. We more so just encouraged people to get registered and get out there to vote because it is such an important thing in our country. And especially this year with candidates and stuff like that, it was such a polarizing year in election season that it's like, all right, we just got to convince as many people as possible to get out there and vote because it's very hard to just sit back and be like, nah, you know what? I'm just not going to vote at all, you know. So
I'm gonna just let the dice roll on this one. I'm not going to do any part of this.
It is a tough thing to do, though, but we just try to stay as kind of generic with it as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, and I feel like most of the things, if there's something that's like objectively terrible, that's not really going to offend anybody to say like, hey, someone died, that's bad. Like, it's kind of hard to argue that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's certain things that you just can't get around that are just, you know, there's no argument and no political spin on it where it's just like, yeah, people dying are bad. Yeah, exactly.
That seems pretty fair. You know, you always hear some wild comments, like when you guys read the Facebook comments, sometimes you'll hear some pretty wild stuff, and even like, you guys try to walk the line, but even that every now and then you'll just call BS on someone's... like, I get that you can feel that way, but that's kind of BS.
Yeah. I mean, that is just, that's gold for us. Like, that we've probably been doing that for like a year and a half on the show now. And it started, I think, with like something about Kim Kardashian. And like, whenever you talk about or like whenever anything is posted on Facebook about anything that has to do with like Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, the Facebook comment section is just gold. It's like people who are just like, these people are horrible people and should be murdered. It's like, oh my God, it's like, does it really affect your life that bad where you wish like death and harm to these people and their families? So I think that's initially what started it on our show. We're just like, oh my God, there's so many crazy people who like, yeah, you could not be a fan of Kim Kardashian, but to like wish bodily harm on her and stuff like that. So I think we started reading it there. And then we transition into, we read it a lot for like Pittsburgh sports, like if there's a big Steelers loss or, you know, the Penguins are doing bad or something. And it's just so crazy to see how fired up people will get in the Facebook, almost on anything you can do it up. But, you know,
you just post hello on Facebook, someone's going to get really, really fired up.
Yeah, just be like, hello, what, are you having a good day or something? Well, I'm having an awful day, you know. And yeah, but reading Facebook comments, man, is just, it's something that people have definitely embraced on our show now and has become definitely one of our most popular bits that we've done over the past couple of years.
Yeah, one of the ones that I was in the shower listening to you guys because what better place to listen to Mikey and Bob than in the shower?
Naked and washing with Mikey and Bob in the morning. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're wet and naked, why aren't you hearing Mikey and Bob?
Right.
And it was one of the Facebook comments, and someone was like, Mike Tomlin only got hired by Obama or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, pretty sure he was winning games before Obama was running for president.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me look this up real quick. I'm like, yep, Mike Tomlin won the Super Bowl like 2 months after he got into office. Like,
yeah.
He couldn't have did this. I was like, this is literally impossible. I don't know what you're talking about.
But it is. That's how crazy people get on Facebook. Like, Coach Tomlin is only the coach of the Steelers because of President Obama, and that's it. They're only doing it because the Rooneys love Obama. It's like, oh my God, people are literally insane on Facebook.
When you get a thanks Obama for Ben throwing an interception, I'm pretty sure you've hit peak something. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, it gets to the point where it's just like, all right, this one is just... It's a fine line, too, because especially since we've made it such a big part of our show now, is you'll go into Facebook comments and be like, all right, that person is saying something so insane that they're obviously trolling and that can't even be a real thing. And so you kind of have to sift through those, and you know, people will even tell us like, I'm gonna try to get a comment on your show if I post on the Steelers Facebook page. So you kind of have to like weed through them and be like, all right, that seems crazy, but this person is like legit losing their mind.
Well, so you know, I watched this game this past week. I was very pleasantly surprised. I wasn't happy. I mean, you lose, but it's like, look at Landry Jones. Okay, he's completing some passes. Okay, This could be worse.
Yeah, it is the one. It's the one good thing. Like when the Steelers lose or like the Penguins lose, like we'll be sad for a little bit, but then we'll be like, "Hey, Facebook comments will be a lot of fun on the show tomorrow." Just people losing their mind. So it kind of works out for us. It's a win-win.
Yeah, we were sad there's no game coming up this weekend because there's right down the street from our condo is the southernmost Steelers bar in the United States.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a little Irish pub down on the corner that has a Steelers flag flying out front.
I have never been to a Steelers bar, like, in a different city. That's something that I've always wanted to do, but I've never been in a different city or different part of the world during a Steelers game where I've had to watch at a Steelers bar, but I want to do that so bad just to see what it's like. Like that'd be such a cool experience to just hang with other random people, you know, in a state like Florida or Arizona. It's just like random bar full of yinzers on a Sunday afternoon watching the Steeler game. Yeah, I've never done it, but I want to so bad.
There's some in Japan, right? There's Steelers bars in Japan.
Yeah, there was a book came out last year that was someone did like a road trip to, but it was just around the U.S. to like visit Steelers bar. Because working at a bookstore at the time, and it was like a huge Christmas gift to give this. It was called Always a Home Game, I think. Like it was Steelers games, always a home game because you can always find a Steelers bar to watch it in with a bunch of other yinzers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was in Japan, like we went on a day trip with some like Japanese native people and. They were like, oh, yeah. Oh, you're from Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah, Steelers. Okay.
So did you go to the Steelers bar in Japan?
I went to a sports bar, but I don't think it was for a Steelers game.
Ah, okay.
So.
That'd be pretty
nice. That would have been awesome.
So when we end up getting, like, fired and we leave Pittsburgh and our grand scheme to be huge in Japan happens, we'll have to check the Steelers bar there out.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It was because it was spring. There were no Steelers games.
So it's there's definitely a lot of cool, weird stuff from cool or weird stuff from Japan. You know, you got
it's a Venn diagram. Like there's a lot of it falls in the middle.
The first time I realized there might be some weird stuff going on in Japan, someone was like, "Hey, you like cartoons?" I'm like, "I like cartoons." They're like, "Do you like naked people?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a person of that." They're like, "How do you feel about tentacles?" And I'm like, "I don't know how to answer that question." Like, look at this and come back to me, and then. So I'm not friends with that person anymore.
Wow. That's kind of random there, but that's impressive.
You know, you hang out on the internet for a while, you start to, you see a lot of things. You
can find anything on the internet.
Yeah, Rule 34 is strong in these parts. but yeah, so we, how you feeling right now? You feeling pretty good?
Me? Yeah, I'm good. All good.
Cool. Let's, you want to jump into this rapid fire section?
Yeah, let's have some questions.
Cool. So you don't have to. You can be rapid if you want to. You don't have to.
I'll be
but
as rapid as possible.
Okay. If you feel like doing tangent, don't feel bad about it because we're not a hard stop either. So.
Got it.
Yeah, we always we call this section rapid fire, and more often than not, it just devolves into like more conversation. So.
Not so rapid.
Yeah.
So tradition. You want to kick us off, Steph?
Sure. Not the first question I usually start with, but I like this one. What's your favorite weird candy?
Oh, weird candy. I know candy corn is just horrible. I hate candy corn. I don't get why people like, I don't trust somebody who like their favorite Halloween candy is candy corn. Just like, I can't deal with you. So not that I don't like candy corn, but I don't know. Weird candy. I don't know. I like Swedish fish. That's not that weird, but I'm really.
Swedish fish are polarizing.
It's a very fine line. I don't really like gummy things, like gummy worms, gummy bears, but I like Swedish fish. So it's almost like there's a thin line there between gummy and Swedish fish. Swedish fish I'm good with, but I can't get too gummy. So Swedish fish is about as weird as I get, though. You know, I don't want to get too weird with my candy. Anything that's chocolatey with something inside, like chocolatey peanut butter. Like, that's the go-to.
Yes.
Yeah, it's classic.
See, have you ever had the Swedish fish flavor at Rita's?
Yeah, that's pretty good. The one thing that's not
good. So it's good.
The Swedish fish Oreo cookies. Not good.
Oh, yes, you had them?
Yeah, they've been trying so many different Oreo flavors lately. The Swedish fish Oreo cookies, no, they got too weird with it.
Did you ever have the weird food that I always go to? Have you ever had the peanut butter and jelly wings at TGI Fridays?
No, I did not know that was actually a thing. PB so they have them. Wings?
Yeah, they're awful. You should totally try them, but it's disgusting.
Because it's not like ringing endorsement right there. They're awful. You have to try them.
So they're not like peanut butter and jelly, like you're thinking peanut butter and jelly, like P peanut butter, actual peanut butter, like a
jelly, like a grape jelly. Jelly.
But no, it's like Thai peanut sauce and pepper jelly, and it's awful, and it's hilariously bad.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, you know, like how they have like the vomit jelly beans and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like something.
Watching someone eat it is funny.
Yeah, you know it's not going to be good, but you just have to almost like hate eat it just so you could say you did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a Harry Potter fan. What's your Hogwarts house?
I mean, I think you just have to go with Gryffindor, you know?
That's fair.
I think that's just the solid one. Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw, I feel like I don't know enough about. Like, I don't know what kind of people are in Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw. Like, you know.
Hufflepuff's like the other house. Like,
yeah, like, you know what you're getting with Gryffindor. You know what you're getting with Slytherin. But Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw just like, I don't even know what these people are into in Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw. It's kind of, so you can never put yourself in those houses because you don't know what kind of person you're telling people you are. Like, I'm sure I could look it up and there'd be some explanation, but just off top, you got to go with Gryffindor or Slytherin if you just want to be ironically bad, I guess. But I mean, Gryffindor is just the go-to right there.
Okay. Yeah, Steph, you're Ravenclaw because you're like a bookish person, right?
Yeah, like the Ravenclaw stereotype was like the like super nerd, so.
Ah, okay, got it. So,
yeah, and then I'm Slytherin, I'm a smooth talker.
Gryffindor is like mainstream, and then Ravenclaw is kind of like, yeah, well.
Yeah, that's where the nerds of Hogwarts get shuttled off to. Yeah.
And then Hufflepuff's like Butters from South Park.
Yeah. Hufflepuff's where like everyone who isn't like super cunning, super brave, or super smart goes. They're just like, and Hufflepuff takes everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, like, house. We kind of had to take this kid. He's not really, Hufflepuff, yay.
Cool. You got the next one?
Sure. So there have been a million different Batman stuff over the years. Out of all of the Batman stories, which Joker is your favorite Joker?
Oh, favorite Joker. I mean, Heath Ledger. No, I mean, that's the peak. Nobody will ever beat that. Just the way that movie came out and then him, like, passing away after it, that's, you can't beat that. Like, it's a horrible thing that he died, but it almost added to that movie in his character. The fact
that, like, how intense.
Yeah, it just became, like, folklore at that point. Like, you know, you can't look at Heath Ledger in any other movie now and not be like, oh my gosh, I know how this story ends. And like the Joker is that last kind of image everybody has of him, is just playing this psychotic Joker. And, you know, I'm not all in on the Jared Leto Joker, like Suicide Squad. Like it's so hard because I think he tried to be Heath Ledger with it, and especially from everybody saying on the set of Suicide Squad that he was like method acting and never got out of character. And it's like, come on, man. Like, it's not that serious. Like, you don't have to pee in Will Smith's cereal or get them weird toys for gifts. Like,
you can't send Viola Davis a dead rat. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, like, you can't out-Joker Heath Ledger. Like, I think that's always going to be the peak, you know? They were so cartoonish before that. Like, I think back to like Jack Nicholson and, you know, all the other ones before that. And like, yeah, they were good, but, you know, Heath Ledger was that first.
He really killed it.
Yeah, real dark Joker that I don't think nobody will even come close to that. So he's definitely peak for me.
Yeah, he's got to go a completely different direction at this point, which.
Yeah, I was surprised that they even, like, you'd think they would, take a completely different direction and, like, not make something with a Joker in it for a while.
They wanted to make Harley Quinn and, like, well, we kind of need the Joker to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
She's getting a movie, right?
It's like, if we're going to keep rolling with Harley Quinn, like, there has to be a little bit of Joker in here, but, yeah, I don't know. I just need more of it, but I really wasn't buying the Jared Leto Joker.
That's fair. Seems to be the common consensus on the internet. Okay. Did you ever watch Avatar: The Last Airbender?
No. Watched Avatar, okay, the movie, but never Avatar: The Last Airbender, no. You know what's weird, too, is like, I mean, going off of, this has nothing to do with Avatar, but I never watched like Pokemon growing up. And, you know, when Pokemon Go, the app came out, my daughter got all into it. And it was cool because like I could play with her. We'd go out on walks and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. So then she was like, one day came up to me, she's like, Dad, there is so much Pokemon cartoons like on Netflix. And I'm like, pump the brakes, because if you want to open this door, like, it, like we're gonna
there's
get
radical
deep,
here.
We're gonna get deep here. We can't like watch one episode and be like, hey, there's a Pokemon cartoon. So I'm like three seasons deep into like Pokemon now. And it's weird because, you know, they came out when I was growing up, but I was just, I never watched it. I was never into it. So I'm watching like all these seasons of the Pokemon series with my daughter, and we're both watching it for the first time. So it's pretty cool.
That's really fun.
I like the idea that it was like kind of like after your generation and before hers, but you're both watching it together for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. It was like kind of right in that middle. Like I was probably in, I don't know, junior high or maybe high school starting out when Pokemon first started kind of coming out and being real big. And yeah, I just wasn't really into it. And then, yeah, so it's kind of like hitting perfectly with me and my daughter now. So we don't even like play Pokemon Go really anymore. You know, everybody was playing it when it came out, but it kind of died off. But yeah, we still watch the cartoons now, and it's, yeah, it's fun. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
It was really fun.
Yeah, I remember when so it came out when I was around like third grade or something.
Yeah, it was like elementary school.
Yeah, and I played like the first set of them, the second set. But then when the third generation came out, I'm like, I think I'm too old for this. I should probably stop.
Yeah.
But then I got to high school, and the fourth generation came out, and my whole entire high school was playing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was. I guess turning 17 was like, time to be a kid again.
Yeah, I think there just comes to a point where, you know, like, you just, you turn the corner where you're just not ashamed to be involved or, like, into anything that you, you know, were ashamed to be in a kid. Like, oh, you shouldn't play that, or you shouldn't watch that or be into that because, you know, only nerds do that. It always comes back around where you just don't really care what people think, you know, and you're just going to like what you want to
so
like.
So freeing. Okay, well, since we didn't have that one, I'll ask you different one. Do you prefer Marvel or DC?
Marvel. Yeah, I'm trying.
I'm on
like,
board Marvel too.
I'm cheering for DC. Like, I don't like, it's not like East Coast, West Coast rap for me where like you pick a side and you like, this isn't like Bloods and Crips.
It's not like Ride or Die. Like,
yeah, like I definitely like Marvel because there's just so many more characters and movies that I've liked in the Marvel universe, but I don't want DC to fail. Like, I want both of them to be hugely successful. But, you know, I've tried to watch some of the Superman movies, and it's just like, man, I just can't get into it. And I
there's
thought
not to get it done.
I thought the jump off was going to be, what was it, Dawn of Justice? Was that the last Batman Superman movie, right?
Yeah.
I thought that I was hoping that was going to be good. I didn't think it would, but I was hoping so hard.
I know. That's the same thing with me. I was just like, all right, man, they got two big characters in it. They've kind of told like a little backstories. Everybody's. And I watched it and I was just kind of like, man, I don't know. I wasn't like all in, like, I can't wait to see more of this. I was just kind of like, well, I felt like it was just something I had to watch, but.
Well, maybe Wonder Woman will be good. Like, still hoping for that.
Yeah. And I almost feel like DC just has to hit with like Justice League, because I almost feel like they're trying to play catch up too fast with Marvel. Like, Marvel has so many things going on, and they have Avengers. So DC, it's almost like they didn't care how successful these other franchises were. It's just like, we have to get to the point where there's a Justice League. So throw these movies out as quick as we can, because Justice League must happen, and it must happen soon. So I don't know if that's just what DC's going to need, something like Justice League where there is enough characters that people are familiar with, but I don't know. I'm not rooting against DC. I want DC to win. I haven't got all in yet, and I haven't been impressed enough with the movies to where I could be like, yeah, DC is just killing it. They're doing so much better than Marvel, you know.
Yeah, like every time they put out a trailer, I'm like, oh, okay, this trailer doesn't look bad, and then the movie comes out and it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently the shows are pretty good, like Arrow and stuff.
Oh yeah,
like,
the TV shows are good, but they're not considered part of the like the movie universe, so.
Of course not.
Well, that's the thing too with like, and it's weird with Marvel, because Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, you know, like I started watching that the first season it came out, and I was like, all right, well, I got to watch this because this is part of the movies and the whole universe. And I kind of just, I liked it, but I don't know what happened. Sometimes you just watch a show and then you realize, oh my gosh, I haven't watched this show in a month. And then that's what happened with me with S.H.I.E.L.D. I just kind of realized I stopped watching it, and I didn't, you know, I didn't feel like I needed to go watch it. But then they started coming out with, you know, like Daredevil and Luke Cage and Jessica Jones on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, they put anything up on Netflix, you know, and I'm binge watching, especially if it's got that Marvel logo on it. I'm like, I'm all in. So I feel
like Luke Cage started so strong too. I love that. I need to finish it. I really need to finish Luke Cage.
Oh, you haven't even finished it yet?
Nah, man, I've been so busy.
I finished it.
You gotta free some time in your life there. Yeah, the best part about usually those series is they come out usually like on a Thursday or Friday. So going into my weekend, I always just get it done that weekend. I always say like, oh, I'll just watch an episode here, or episode there. And it's just like, you know, it cuts to that SpongeBob like 10 hours later. And it's just me like sitting there, eyes bugged out, like, I'm done. That was it. I have no more Luke Cage episodes to watch. But Marvel's just done a great job with all the Netflix series. Like they haven't missed yet.
Yeah, they've been a lot stronger than the like cable TV shows too. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I had the same problem where I was watching and I was like, well, I have to watch this because it's part of the universe. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I'm a season behind.
What about Agent Carter? That was
Agent Carter, the first season was good, but the second season was kind of
okay.
Yeah.
Peggy.
Like
and it's like they reference S.H.I.E.L.D. and like Agent Carter, like they'll reference that in some of the movies, but they don't get deep enough to where you're just like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, I have to watch that to understand. Like, no, you don't.
Now I feel like this is how Bob feels with Star Wars. Like, he doesn't need to connect all the pieces to have it make sense.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch the Thor movies because they don't seem to interest me. But I'm like, I think I'll understand what's going on if I don't watch Thor Across the Rainbow Bridge. I think I'll get it.
Right.
All right. Let's go. If you could cross over anything, so movies, TV shows, whatever, like, two things that you want to see someone from that in doing, hanging out with people from the other one, what would you pick?
Like, as far as like hanging out with like an actor or actress or something like that, or
if you want to see like the Harry Potter characters like in the Lord of the Rings world or something like that. Like,
oh wow, like crossover stuff.
Yeah.
Cool, boy. Wow. I mean, you guys should have emailed me this one like ahead of time. That's all.
Always takes people off guard.
That's a lot of thinking right there. Yeah, I would probably have to say I would like to see, oh man, I mean, now that I'm thinking about this, I'm getting sweaty thinking about it. If Doctor Who appeared in the Marvel Universe, like, my pants would instantly be off. Like, I'd be off. Like, if I heard the TARDIS noise in, like, an Avengers movie, like, I don't know if I could handle myself. Yeah,
that
would definitely be number one for me if Doctor Who was somehow brought into the Marvel Universe. You know, not even like a huge part of it, just sneaking into
just like an Easter egg kind of thing.
Yeah, even if it was just an Easter egg, that would definitely work. That would definitely be my number one. Now that I'm thinking about that I came up with it that fast, that's definitely fantasy land for me.
Yeah, that was so weird. Did you watch Jessica Jones?
Yeah, I actually watched Luke Cage first, and then I was just like, I never watched Jessica Jones when it first came out, but then when I watched Luke Cage, I was just like, oh my gosh, Luke Cage is in Jessica Jones, like, I gotta go back and watch Jessica Jones now. So I watched it the weekend after Luke Cage, so I went out of order, but I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the things that was so weird about watching it was that I watched it way after I had watched David Tennant as Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because he's kind of like just like the evil version of the same character.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And like he uses the same accent and everything. It's like, I want to trust you so badly.
Yeah.
Like, but you're literally the worst kind of person.
Yeah. He was kind of like a smartass too. And Jessica Jones, like kind of, he was like a kind of a smartass doctor at some point. So
yeah,
there were definitely points where it's so weird. Once you see it, like an actor as the doctor, you can't unsee it. Like, they are always going to be the doctor no matter what they're in.
Yeah, it's so hard to see Matt Smith doing other stuff now. Like, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You could probably throw like a TARDIS into like the collector's place, like from Guardians and Thor. Like, he could just have some
that
weird.
That would be good.
Just like a TARDIS like in the back. Like, oh, yeah, found
like
this one.
Post credit scene or something.
Yeah, if they could put Howard the freaking Duck. Like, I stayed after the credits to see Howard the Duck. I was so pissed off. Like, it's the maddest I've ever been in a movie thing.
What, seeing the Howard the Duck thing?
Yeah, because I was like, thought there was going to be some. I thought they were going to like do more Thanos stuff. Like, this guy's like, oh, I have all kinds of Infinity Gems.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is going to be foreshadowing. No, this is a dumbass cartoon. I don't know.
You know what's funny is I've watched Howard the Duck probably I watched it when I was younger. Because, I mean, I don't remember what the promotion, I was so young, I don't remember what the promotion for that movie was like, but it was like, I mean, that was like George Lucas and like Steven Spielberg, wasn't it? Like, that was a huge deal.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. And, I feel better about it now.
Oh, no, it was like a huge, like, there were some heavy hitters on that. That was supposed to be like a huge movie, and it, I mean, it's just looked at now like just such a huge joke, but my daughter wanted to watch it one day, because she's just going by on Netflix, and she's like, what is Howard the Duck? And I'm like, I remember seeing this once as a kid, maybe, but I don't remember what it even was. And so I'm just like, screw it, let's watch it. And my daughter loved it. And I was sitting there like, oh my God, I can't believe that this movie was actually made. It's one of those movies where you can go watch back and it's so hilariously bad that you almost appreciate how bad it is.
Have you ever seen The Room?
The Room.
With Tommy Wiseau?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's like notoriously one of these worst movies. Like, it was, the guy who directed it didn't like his dialogue so much, he went back and like redubbed only his own audio.
Oh,
so like,
God.
Like everybody in the cast, like their mouth matches their words except for his in like a few scenes. It's so, don't watch it with your daughter. Like, it's definitely like a hard R.
Yeah.
Rated movie, but yeah. If you ever have like an hour and a half and you want to see one of the worst, like, but it's actually enjoyable. It's not like those wings. Like, you'll enjoy watching it, but it's not like, it's like what Sharknado was trying to do.
Yeah,
but trying to be fake bad, but it actually was like a few years later. He's like, oh, you know, I was trying to make like a satirical comedy, and all the actors were like, no, dude, you're just a terrible director or a bad actor. Like,
yeah.
It just is what it is.
Yeah, I tapped out of the Sharknado movies. Like, the first one was like, it was good because it didn't know what it was yet, and then it became too much of like
too self-aware.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, all right, now you're trying to be bad. We don't want that. We want you to just be Sharknado and take yourself serious. But you're trying to be bad and over the top now, and I'm done.
You just get lazy with the editing, like try to make a serious movie, but then the post-production just is kind of weak.
yeah, exactly.
I guess we'll finish with this 1-2 punch of questions. Who would you want to play you if they made a show or movie?
I kind of, people always say I have the voice like Ray Romano, but he's a little older, but I have kind of the personality of Ashton Kutcher, probably. And he's taller and thin like me. I'd probably say if somebody had to play me, it'd be Ashton Kutcher.
Okay. And if you were to be in a movie or show of like some fictional character, who would you want to play?
Whew. Man. I mean, I'd probably want to be Doctor Who. I know I'm throwing out Doctor Who a lot in here, but I would definitely
awesome.
I'd definitely like to be a doctor. I mean, I Doctor Who is such a thing for me because not a lot of people know about it, like I said, in America. So when you find somebody else who loves Doctor Who, you're like instantly connected. But the fact that like there's time traveling, there's, you know, space involved, like every episode they'll, you know, bring in like an actual historical character, you know, like a Van Gogh or something like that, and do an episode around it. So if I had to pick one fictional character to be, I'd definitely be a doctor. Doctor Who.
Cool.
Nice. The first Yinzer doctor.
First Yinzer doctor. Who would your companion be?
Bob.
Oh, boy.
That's fair.
I had to pick like an actor or actress to be like my companion.
Yeah, or Bob. You know, it's fine.
Well, Bob is always... I think Bob went to the bathroom again. I don't know where Bob is. He left, but... Bob would be my first choice, but I don't know if everybody would be cool with just two oddly shaped men being like Doctor Who and the companion, so...
Yeah, that's just Bill and Ted.
That is. It would be like... You know what's funny, too, is I tried to watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures just because it was like Howard the Duck, one of those random things that's just like, well, this is on Netflix. I saw this when I was real little. Let me see what this was. It's so bad.
Like, I don't think Keanu Reeves is a good actor, like, which is why he was good in The Matrix, but I don't think he's like that good of an actor.
It's so bad. Like, me and my daughter tried to watch it, and I had to tap out. Like, I made it through all of Howard the Duck watching it, ironically. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is so bad that I turned to my daughter, I'm like, we gotta shut this off, right? And she's like, yeah, this is bad.
That's hilarious.
It's brutal. But yes, there is a time traveling phone booth or police box in that too. So there is kind of a Doctor Who, I guess, reference there. But if I was a doctor and I had to have one companion, I mean, Hermione, since I love Harry Potter, I'd have Emma Watson as my sidekick and we would save the universe and species all over the world.
Yeah, can't go wrong with Emma Watson, Hermione. That's a 100% good choice.
Man, I really want Emma Watson to be a Doctor Who companion now. Now I'm like disappointed myself.
Your head.
I got it in my head and I know it's never going to happen, so.
Well, she's
British.
So, I mean, it's not impossible.
There's a non-zero chance that she will be on Doctor Who at some point.
Actually, I don't even want her to be the companion. I want her to be a female doctor. Whoa.
That would be fantastic.
That's a time traveling glass ceiling.
She's already got, like, Hermione's got, like, the bag that's kind of Time Lordy. Like, it's bigger on the inside.
Yeah.
Like, the one at the end. So, like. It would be like the TARDIS in the background of Harry Potter somewhere, like she was a Time Lord the whole time. Hey.
I mean, she did time travel, so
they could just spin that off. There it is, right there.
Boom.
Nice. Okay, green light at BBC and JK.
We need together. There's billions to be made here.
You'd make tons of money if you're like first female doctor Emma Watson. People were like, got at least tune in for this, at least for two episodes. I would watch that.
Yeah, I'd watch it, and I'd definitely read Facebook comments about it on our show.
that'd be so out of control.
Like, oh, the doctor can't be a woman. You've ruined that.
That's exactly what happened. It would be a whole long thing.
You ruined my life, Stephen Moffat. No.
That would be amazing. That's how it would go. But do you have any questions for us? Anything you would want to ask us while we're all sitting here having a good time?
No, I think I'm good. I mean, we covered a lot here. I mean, we've been rolling.
Yeah, we covered some.
Yeah, for sure. Is there any? I guess I would feel remiss if I didn't try to give it the shot for the people who listen to your show all the time. Is there any questions that you feel like people would want to ask you if they had the chance?
If people would ask us a question if they had the chance, I don't know. We're pretty open, you know.
There's not a lot of secrets.
No, there really isn't a lot of secrets. Like I always feel like with people there are, but man, we talk about everything on our show, and we have like no real secrets that we, you know, that people wonder or anything about us. You know, like we pretty much lay it all out on the show. Like there was one morning, even driving to the radio station, where I crapped my pants on the way. No joke. It ended up being one of our funniest shows ever. But like, that's how we started the show. We were just like, well, this morning's been kind of interesting. Mike had an accident on the way to work. Had to go home, change, take a full shower, still made it back by the time the show started. So yeah, what I'm trying to get at, there's not a lot of hiding on our show. We're pretty open people. We're pretty easy to reach. Like, there's never any time where people will ask us about something and we'll be like, I don't want to talk about that, you know? Like, the only thing I never talk about is if somebody ever asks us, like, how much money we make, or like what is our contract like? I'm just like, I don't need to talk about that. Nobody needs to know about that stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of inappropriate to ask, like.
Yeah. Some people do, though. Usually we'll get it every now and then, just like, how much money do you guys make? I'm just like, you don't need to know. I'm like, don't worry about it. You know? Like, that's the one thing. I guess that is the one thing I won't talk to people about, is like what our contracts are like or how long they are. You know, we let our listeners know when we re-sign a contract, but we don't give them like details of it and stuff.
Yeah, remember you had the whole like city in a panic. You're like, hey, we have a really important announcement at the end of the show, like, and you guys got all somber and everyone's like, oh shit, they're getting canceled, and you're like, our contract got renewed. I'm like, oh, whew.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, hey, you know, it's always a good thing. We always let everybody know when we get new contracts, just because it's not like a show off thing. Like, yeah, we're renewed, or it's just kind of like, you guys have been listening, and this is what you've done. You've taken like two guys who didn't know what they were doing and starting, like I said, like a weird show that maybe no other city in the United States would get. And we always share with our fans when, you know, we get like it's an accomplishment to have a morning show and get like your contract renewed and to get a new deal and everything and know that there's a company that is, you know, happy with what you do. So we share it with our listeners almost as like, you know, sharing our success with them. Like, thank you to them for listening and making this happen. Because, I mean, honestly, we do this every day and it's our career. I still feel like I haven't worked a day. Like, I feel like I beat the system so bad. Like, me and Bob played Little League baseball together. I've known him. Like, our moms are best friends now. And it's one of those things where, like, oh, my gosh, I feel like there's going to be another side of life where I'm going to have to wake up and be a real adult and go to a real job. And it just hasn't happened. And we're always very humble and grateful because we know it can be taken away at any time. So we always try to be very humble about it because it is pretty amazing the job we have and the fun we get to have and get paid for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. That's the dream.
That's the way to be. And you guys have your trade event Stuff a Bus coming up. What week is that?
Yeah, it's the Monday right after Thanksgiving when everybody is getting hit with those like holiday commercials and
all
that stuff. And that's the real beginning of the holiday shopping season. So yeah, the Monday after Thanksgiving. It's like November, towards the end of November, like last week in November into the beginning of December. But yeah, we live out in I don't even know how many years we've been doing it now, but we live in a parking lot, Robinson Town Center, this year for an entire week. We don't leave. We actually sleep out in an RV and we collect toys for the Marines Toys for Tots program. And yeah, it's
very cool.
It's the biggest thing we do all year. It's there's so many people that just come out and donate toys. Like the first year we did it, we stuffed 3 school buses full and we were just like, oh my gosh, this is so many toys. Like so much more of a, like, it was such a big reaction. We were just like, I don't know if we'll ever be able to beat this. And then like the next year it was 6 buses, then 12 buses. And like,
what'd you get last year?
Last year, we were over 50 last year.
Holy like, crap.
That's so many toys.
That's so many toys.
It's nuts. Like every year, the Pittsburgh Penguins, like, came to us and were just like, we want to be involved with Stuff a Bus. How can we, like, use the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation to be involved? So, like, they do their own collection for our Stuff a Bus now, and we kind of group it all together. So, it's just gotten to that point. And we always say this, that it's grown bigger than Mikey and Bob and 96.1 KISS, our radio station. It's such like a Pittsburgh thing now. Like, there's people that don't even listen to our show or might not even know who we are that know what Stuff a Bus is and will come out and donate. So yeah, it's the most important thing we do all year. And it's, you know, just to make sure that anybody in the kind of Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, kids, you know, don't go through the holidays without getting, you know, a couple toys for the holidays. So yeah, we have a lot of fun out there too. It's not really like we work harder or anything, but no, it's a good time. It's the most important thing we do all year.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I was trying to think of some way to get a little bit of extra money for that. I just want to know when it was so I can not procrastinate this year on it. But
yeah. Monday after Thanksgiving, as soon as people start thinking of Christmas shopping, we're like, come on and bring toys.
Nice.
We hit people before they start spending all their money on toys. So we get them first.
Hey, it's a good cause, and you guys have a great show. I listen to it a lot, so you know, I want to thank you again for being on our show. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, it was really cool for you to come on.
Well, thank you guys for having us on. Yeah, I wish Bob could say goodbye, but I don't even know where he went. He must have got caught up, had something to do. But no, appreciate you guys having me on, and yeah, good time.
Yeah, we'll have to get Bob on one day, and you can guest on that one. Yeah, do a nice flip around. But if our lovely listeners are like, they're hearing your great radio voice and thinking, you know, I'm tired of the morning show that I listen to, it's hacky, it's terrible, and they want to hear more of your show or just kind of see some of the stuff you're talking about, where they find you on, like, on the internet and stuff?
We have our own iHeartRadio channel. If you have the free iHeartRadio app, you can just search Mikey and Bob, and then you can get our show without like all the songs and commercials. So that's basically like our podcast. That's where you'll just get us talking. But so they can get us through there. We put clips of our show every day up on like YouTube. So just search Mikey and Bob on YouTube. And you know, if you follow us on Twitter @FSMikey @FSBigBob, we're always tweeting links to all the different stuff we're doing. But yeah, the best and easiest way to listen to us is just on Mikey and Bob Radio through the free iHeartRadio app, because there's a lot of people that are just like, yeah, you guys are funny, but I can't sit through another Justin Bieber song just to hear you. So then I'm just like, well, we got something for you. We got our own iHeartRadio channel, so you don't have to hear all the songs and everything like that. So that's the best way if somebody, you know, might just be sick of their morning show and not in Pittsburgh could listen to us.
Like, yeah, I really like Closer, but I don't need to hear it two times on the way to work.
Exactly. When you do it every day, it just becomes white noise to you. It's like, we don't even hear it. It's like living next to a train track now. It's like, yeah, if you don't live next to a train track, you hear it. But if you're there every day, you don't hear the trains anymore.
Well, I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning. I'm going to have to set the alarm just for 6 a.m. And a little bump and grind. I got to go back to sleep because it's going to get really drunk tonight. We're gonna stay out of Florida trouble, though. But if the listeners want to hear more of us or something, maybe this is their first episode. Steph, do you want to hit these people with some social media business real quick?
Yeah, hit them with the knowledge.
All right, so you can find us on Twitter at CharacterRev, Character R-E-V, so there are two R's in the middle. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal. You can follow the podcast itself just by going to characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can subscribe through Google Play, through Stitcher. You can subscribe to RSS. You can put our RSS feed into iTunes manually, but you can't find us on iTunes still because they're nonsense. it's an ongoing struggle there. You can, if you are interested in either one of us personally talking more about our nonsense lives, you can follow me at Captain Steph on Twitter, at The Snow Queer on Tumblr. You can find Dom pretty much anywhere on the internet at Brother Dom.
Yeah, not with a hard R. It has to be Brother, or you're not going to find me. It's going to be weird. You're going to find some weird guy who might be a Hulk Hogan fanboy.
And that's just the worst. Yeah, and then if you want to see words that we have written, you can go to ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com, where we both write about pop culture stuff.
Yeah. Nerdy, kind of social justice-y, but you know, you gotta have justice in your social life.
The Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog, ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. And that's about everything.
Yeah, thank you. So we again want to extend our thanks to Mikey from The Freak Show, 96.1. Thanks for spending some time with us. We'll have to have you on again once we're like super famous superstars or something.
absolutely guys. Well, you guys have a good rest of your day, and thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no problem.
Great, thank you so much.
And listeners, we hope you enjoyed this one, and until next time, see you later.
Bye.